Touring the Talmud, Shabuot 11 to 17, Shabbat Miketz Hanukkah. Our discussion last week examined how we take on different roles in life and the importance of knowing our core identity. The pages of the Talmud continue this week, discussing the question of atonement and the allowance for someone to achieve atonement as a member of the nation of Israel. In these discussions, a question is raised: can one achieve atonement within the system if they do not believe in the system itself? Connected to this question is that of exclusion. When is it that we exclude someone from the group? What are the deal breakers, and what criteria determine the grounds for exclusion? In that light, we look at the high value of inclusion in Torah, and that the Torah urges us to avoid excluding ourselves from the population as well. We recognize that the essential difference that conscious knowledge and education makes in our judgments of a person and their membership, and that one who genuinely lacks them is considered a comrade, even if he holds heretical ideas. A word of caution, this week's essay is roughly 1,000 words longer than usual, and it includes more quotes. But fear not, it's worth diving in. Deal breakers. Whenever we find ourselves involved in a membership of some kind, there are ranges of involvement and loyalty that we can have in it. We can be entirely faithful and even exemplary in our participation. We can give it our all and anticipate what we might do to make it better and stronger. We can also limit our contribution to participate only in the bare essentials, or even actively misbehave. Then there are deal breakers. These are the beliefs or acts that invalidate us for membership. There is a vast difference between misbehavior and rejection. We may admonish and insist on apologies and reparation from those who act out of line with rules, but we do not easily eject someone from membership because of bad behavior or ignorance. It is when there is rejection and violation of core tenets that exclusion occurs, when the bad behavior aims at damaging the foundations upon which the system is built. We are social animals, and we have tribal mentalities. We seek first and foremost to be members of a group with hopes for safety, acceptance, and belonging. It is naturally easier to feel that we belong when those in the group or relationship are like us. Yet, when we look only at the superficial attributes that bind us, we miss the deeper ones. We suffice with what is easy to detect: skin color, common origins, language, and customs. We do not usually make the effort to look for what connects us on a deeper scale: shared ideals, philosophies, and goals for the future. Those are elements that are blind to race and ethnicity. Judaism, which can essentially be recognized as a belief system whose core group begins with a family-based nation, but nonetheless remains open to practically anyone who wishes to be part of the group and espouse the core ideals, offers a perspective that there is no inherent prejudice against one's race, color, or ethnicity. Any such exclusions are purely subjective and personal, rather than expressive of the fundamental ideals of the people. How do we accept righteous converts? We inform them the fundamentals of the creed, that God is one and that foreign worship is prohibited. Rambam, Isurei Bi'ah. Indeed, there is no prejudice against even those who fail to uphold and keep the law. Yes, they are deemed rebellious and at times even criminal. They are to be taught, educated, reprimanded, and disciplined, but they are not to be shunned or excluded. They are a part of the group. When one upholds the foundational principles and their faith in them is true, that person is included in Israel. It is an obligation to love them and care for them, as God commanded us regarding love and brotherhood. Even if they did whatever they may do among the transgressions because of their desire or the inclination of their drives, they are penalized in response to the magnitude of their transgression, but they maintain their place. They are rebellious, but they are part of Israel. Rambam, Introduction to Perek Chelek. It is for this reason that we find the Hachamim engaging with those who would otherwise be considered outsiders. Sometimes we must be reminded that even the ones who break the rules are on the inside. There were certain delinquents in the neighborhood of Rabbi Zerah. He would bring them close and hope that they would return in remorse for their misdeeds. The Hachamim disapproved of Rabbi Zerah's actions. After his death, the delinquents said, "He used to pray for compassion for us. Now who will care to pray for us?" They thought about this in their hearts and returned in remorse. Sanhedrin 37a. With the consent of the heavenly tribunal and with the consent of the earthly tribunal, With the sanction of the ever-blessed God, and with sanction of this holy congregation, we declare it lawful to pray with those who have transgressed. The opening of Kal Nidre on Yom Kippur. They are members because they hold on to the core ideals. Some may only consciously hold from them when they are hard-pressed and must choose what they value most, sometimes to their own surprise. But in their heart of hearts, they hold the core tenets of Israel to be true. Isaac, Jacob's father, said to him, "Pray, come close and kiss me, my son." He came close and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his garments, and he blessed him. Genesis 27. Read it not as garments, begadav, but as traitors, bogedav. Thus he sensed the future presence of Jacob's renegades, and he blessed him. Traitors, such as Yosef Meshita. When the Romans wanted to enter the Temple Mount, they said, "Let a Jew go first, and whatever he takes out he can keep." Yosef Meshita went in and walked out with the golden menorah. The shocked Romans said, "This is something that no commoner ought to use. Go in again, and anything you take will be yours." He refused. They threw in a 3-year tax break, but he still refused, saying, "It is bad enough to have angered my Creator once. I should do it again?" So they trussed him up on a carpenter's bench and started sawing off pieces of his body, and he just kept sobbing, "Oh, how I upset my Creator." Sanhedrin 37. Our Gemara this week brings out this principle. We do not close the doors of inclusion to anyone until they themselves mock and deny the very space to which the doors lead. It is only when that happens that the doors, along with the space, cease to exist for them. One might have thought that Yom Kippur would atone for those who repent and for those who do not repent. But just as a sin offering and guilt offering atone only for those who repent, so too Yom Kippur atones only for those who repent. 13a. Neither Yom Kippur nor the sin or guilt offerings atone unless the one bringing them believe in their ability to atone. However, one who rejects them, literally mivaret, kicks them, they do not provide atonement. Rambam Shigagot. We accept offerings from the rebellious ones of Israel, so that they might return in remorse, teshubah, except for one who is a heretic, who is corrupted with foreign worship. Rambam Maaseh HaKorbanot. It is only when the very foundations are attacked that we must, for the sake of self-preservation, exclude. In all other cases, we are warned time and again to be careful never to shun in our admonishments, so as never to repel those who rightfully belong, no matter how much we might deem them unacceptable. Our rabbis taught, always have the left hand drive sinners away, and the right draw them near, so that the sinner will not despair of atonement. Sanhedrin 107. There were these delinquents in Rabbi Meir's neighborhood who caused him a great deal of anguish. Rabbi Meir prayed for God to have mercy on them that they should die. Rabbi Meir's wife, Beruria, said to him, "What is your thinking? Do you base yourself on the verse as it is written, 'Let sins cease from the land'? Which you interpret to mean that the world would be better if the wicked were destroyed? But is it written, 'Let sinners cease'? 'Let sins cease' is written. One should pray for an end to their transgressions, not for the demise of the transgressors themselves." Berachot 10. Yet, as members, who may or may not be among the transgressors, we must also consider the value in the place of being part of a virtuous group. We may wax and wane with our participation and involvement, but we would do well to ensure that we keep our place within it. Hillel says, "Do not separate yourself from the community." Pirkei Avot. One who excludes oneself from the ways of the community, even though he did not transgress commandments, but rather separated himself from the congregation of Israel and doesn't perform commandments within them, and does not engage with them in their sorrows, and does not fast with them in their fasts, rather walks his own way as if he is one of the other nations of the earth, and as if he is no part of them, he has no portion in the world to come. There are 5 things that lock the paths of return before those who do them. One who excludes oneself from the ways of the community, for when they engage in repentance, he will not be with them and will not merit with them in the merits that they incur. Rambam Teshuvah. Finally, there are circumstances in which we might not even know that we belong somewhere or that we are lost at all. We don't know what we don't know. In those situations, Torah is especially sensitive. Since it has become known that such a person denies the oral law, he is like all the rest of the heretics who say that the Torah is not divine in origin. All of these are not considered as members of the Jewish people. To whom does the above apply? To a person who denied the oral law consciously, according to his perception of things. He follows after his frivolous thoughts and his capricious heart, and is first to deny the oral law. The children of these errant people, and their grandchildren, whose parents led them away and raised according to their conception, they are considered as a children captured and raised by them. Such a child may not be eager to follow the path of mitzvot, for it is as if he was compelled not to. Even if later he hears that he is Jewish and saw Jews and their faith, he is still considered as one who is compelled against observance, for he was raised according to their mistaken path. Rambam, Hilchot Mamrim. When one has either never known that he belongs, or for that matter, what it means to belong, even when the most fundamental principles are not known to him, he is not excluded. The responsible members of the group must aim at teaching him, if possible, what the core ideas are and how he might find a place within the people. Therefore, it is appropriate to motivate them and draw them to the strength of the Torah with words of peace. This was something that Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, was known for. Hillel says, "Be of the disciples of Aharon, loving peace and pursuing peace, loving the creatures and bringing them closer to Torah." Pirkei Avot. He always looked for the best in people and sought to bring out peace, shalom, by making people feel whole, shalem, within themselves and within the framework of meaning to which they belonged. Hanukkah is a time in which we commemorate and meditate on a severe historical breakdown in the nation's sense of place and belonging. For the first time in Jewish history, there was a mass movement to leave not just practices of Judaism, but to fundamentally abandon the core tenets of the nation for Greek culture. We sought to abandon our covenant with God and disengage from the temple service. There was one family, the descendants of Aharon the Kohen Gadol, the house of Hashmonai, that chose to fight for the core principles of Israel and reassert them. They won that war against all odds, and on this festival we light lights in memory of the menorah that stood as testimony of God's presence within our people. It is a unique obligation that rests not only on individuals, but as members of a household. A member of a household can be on the other side of the earth, yet his obligation is fulfilled when the members of his house light at home. Our rabbis taught the mitzvah of Hanukkah is a light kindled by a person for himself and his household. Shabbat 21. A light by a person and his household, for a man and his entire household, it is sufficient to have one candle. Rashi. Rabbi Zerah said, "At first, when I was studying in the yeshiva, I would participate with copper coins together with the host so that I would be a partner in the light that he kindled. After I married my wife, I said, 'Now I certainly need not do so, because they light on my behalf in my house.'" The light of the menorah in the temple represented the soul that is the divine flame within us. It is that internal light which binds us all. It is towards that internal light, the true foundation of our being, that we are to first look to for inclusion. The menorah was thus the unique service of the Kohen Gadol, and it was the menorah that reminded a renegade Jew, Yosef Mishita, that although his life was moving in a direction away from his people, he was, after all, a Jew, with a history and a covenant with God, whom he, along with his forebears, loved deep in his soul. Shabbat Shalom and Hanukkah Sameach.